The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Well, hello and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, once again. It's good to be back on the air. This is three nights in a row. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an honor. First of all, I want to thank God for allowing me to sit here, and I want to thank you, Pastor Sanders, for allowing me to sit in with this special guest. It's my privilege and my honor to welcome in, as a co-host of the show, Dr. Peter Glidden from Youngevity. Good evening, Doctor.
Hey, well, thanks so much. Thanks. You're very kind. I'm so very happy to be here.
Oh, hey, Doc, when I come in, I just do a few things different in the format. We're going to go on a quick 35-second train ride, and we got a song, and then we're going to come back to our Bible study. But you're going to be very important into God's role tonight of helping some people. So without further ado, come on, let's get on that train. Let's go from the East Coast, from New York, to the Midwest, to Oklahoma, Texas, up to California, back down to Florida. Come on, hop on. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, our menu, we're serving porterhouse steak with a baked potato or a sweet potato and a house salad with gluten-free, of course, hot rolls. For dessert, apple pie or pineapple fluff. And, of course, we have a selection of coffees and herbal teas. So sit back and enjoy the show. Now, this song, ladies and gentlemen, before we get going, here's a song that every one of us needs.
I wake up in the morning, putting my feet on the floor. I thank him for the day that he gave me one more. I give him all the praise, the one that I adore. That's Jesus, oh, oh, that's Jesus. I was lost and all alone, my heart in need of help. I found eternal life and lost my fear of death. Because I know the author of my every breath. That's Jesus, oh, that's Jesus. God of glory, majesty, died for me, who's the one that I long to see. That's Jesus, oh, that's Jesus. If you're a soul that's lost, in need of direction, you wonder when you die if you go to heaven. Well, friend, and I found the answer to that very question. That's Jesus. Oh, oh, that's Jesus. God of glory, majesty, the Holy One who died for me, who's the one I long to see. That's Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus. That's Jesus.
Ah, Randy Travis, that's Jesus. Hey, folks, that's the most important thing in your life. When you die, you're going to take your last breath. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. That's why all of us, we need Jesus. Dr. Glidden, tonight's Bible study here is called True Salvation versus Religion. And, Doc, in your field, you know, you got the MDs, and you've got all these different professions that's going on. Dr. Wallach wrote the book, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. I just got your book from was mailed to me from the wonderful people here at What's Right, What's Left, about all the cures. Well, people can get all kind of information, right, doctor? But if they don't follow the advice, it does them no good, correct?
Yeah. If you don't do what's recommended, if you just purchase supplements and leave them sitting on the shelf, if you don't change your diet, it's no bueno. You got to take action.
And we're going to get into that. And again, you know, true salvation versus religion. Many of you out there, you hold to denominations, Roman Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Baptist, Independent, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of God, Church of Christ, Lutheran, Assemblies of God, Pentecostal, whatnot. You got all these different religions, and then you got the Mormons, the Hindus, the Buddhists, and then you got the New Agers, the Satan worshipers, and whatnot. When we get into Christendom, it all comes back to Jesus. Now, Doc, there's a lot of people say, well, I believe in Jesus. Our church believes in Jesus. But is Jesus God? Is Jesus the Messiah? Is he the Christ? How are you getting to heaven? Tonight, we're going to make it perfectly clear how you're getting to heaven. Just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You can attend church 5 days a week. You can write checks out for great amounts of money. You could help the needy. You could help the poor and still go to hell. Well, coach, how could that be? Because salvation is a personal relationship between you and Jesus. And I'm going to show you tonight, real simple, from the Word of God, not my opinion. This is what God teaches, and the King James Bible is your final authority. Just as Dr. Glidden has his final authority, when him and Dr. Wallach and Longevity, when they do all their research and they compare all the stuff, they've got formulas to heal people, and we're going to get into that through the blessings of God. But first of all, Paul comes along. You know, the Jews had their traditions. They rejected the Messiah. Half of the Jews accepted Jesus as the Messiah. According to the Old Testament, there was going to be one, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus shows up in a river, and John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. From there, then later on, Paul comes along. And Paul turns around, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul makes this perfectly clear. Religion is one thing. Salvation of Jesus Christ is completely different. They hold the same look, but they're not the same. Religion is a works, like Pastor Parks would say. It's a religion of do's and don'ts. Jesus Christ is a religion of done. In chapter 15, Paul comes along and says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, doctor, that is the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus Christ come to earth as he is God in the flesh, lived a perfect life in your place. He never committed one sin because he was God in the flesh. He completed all the ordinances, all the laws, never had an evil thought, never had a cuss word, never fornicated, never lied, never stole, never drank. He came to fulfill every law and ordinance, and then he was completely stripped naked, willingly. He left his throne in heaven to willingly do this, to be beaten with a cat of nine tails. His face was unmercifully unrecognized. You couldn't even understand the image of this man when they finally put him on a cross. They plucked his beard out. The soldiers and them were putting hawkers on his face while his hands were nailed to a cross and his feet were nailed to a cross. And the spit was dripping down his face and his bones were shown and the blood was dripping and a crown of thorns. And he turns around and says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they're doing, what they did. He did that in order to pay for your sins, Doc, my sins, and everybody's sins of the world, if they would accept him as their Savior. The trouble in life today is people don't accept him as their Savior. A lot of times people want to earn their way to heaven. They want to follow traditions. That's why we have all these different denominations. My question is this. How are you getting to heaven? Well, I was baptized, and I was raised Roman Catholic or Greek Orthodox. I attend church. I do the Eucharist. I do more good than bad. Well, that's not what the Bible says. But, Coach, you said what you just read, how Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and risen. Now, let's get into the meat of the sermon. As we go through the Bible, here's how we tie all the loose ends together. In Ephesians 2:8, it makes it perfectly clear. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a free gift. Faith of what? That Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, that he lived a perfect life in my place, and that he was crucified and buried, and he bodily rose the third day. That's our faith. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are saved until the day of redemption. When you accept Christ and admit, Doc, and you go, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm in trouble. I can't stand trial. I can't stand for all the things that I've done and everything I said, and I just can't stand it. I'll never make it through the trial. God says, well, if you'll confess your sins and call upon me and ask for forgiveness, I will save you. And what he does in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. So when Doc accepted Christ, they wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life, Dr. Peter Glidden is now saved. Doc is saved one time and one time only. He cannot lose his salvation because the Holy Spirit sealed. In Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, Romans 3:25, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. It was his blood that washed sins away. Not water baptism, not Eucharist, not sacraments, not giving more money to the church, not helping the needy, not helping the poor. Those are works of righteousness, but they don't remove sins. Only Jesus' blood. Really? Well, let's continue. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9. Much more then, being now justified by what? His blood, we shall be what? Saved from the wrath through him. Our faith, believing in him, what he did, his shed blood, that's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not the traditions of any of the churches that are out there of different denominations. We don't follow denominations. We follow Jesus. Jesus was whipped. He was beaten. He was crucified. He shed his blood. He lived a sinless life for me. The Bible said if I were to trust in him, that upon that cross, he took Coach Dwayne's sins. He took Dr. Peter Glidden's sins upon him, and he paid for them one time only. Therefore, we are justified for all of eternity. Colossians 1 verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sins. Again, it's Jesus' blood. Now, let's turn around and let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to pick up in verse 1. This is where the traditions of men and the different religions and doctrines versus Jesus. For the law, having a shadow of things, good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they are offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance, again, made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Years ago, the priest once a year would have to sacrifice, would have to be purged, and he had to live, confess his sins before God before he went to the holies, and they would take the blood of bulls and goats, and once a year for the sins of the people. But the Bible says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin that thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. And when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for the sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb. Jesus alone takes our sins away. Jesus alone saves us. Jesus alone redeems us. And here's what Hebrews has to say about all the different priests out there. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And if I skip on down, it says here in verse 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So you see, folks, when it all breaks down, as you spend more time reading the Bible, get yourself a King James Bible, get in and read it. God will talk to you. It's his blood that washed your sins away, not a sacrament. It's his blood that does it, not the water. Salvation is what Jesus did. Again, folks, I can't stress this enough. If you go to hell, your denomination's going to burn off. If you go to heaven, your denomination tag's going to fall off. You want to get to heaven? Put all your trust in Jesus. If you want to miss heaven and go to hell, trust your church. Trust your good works. Trust the wonderful person that you are. Doc, that is true salvation versus religion. I point to cross, like Paul said. It was Jesus Christ, came in the flesh as God. He lived a perfect life in our place. And I'll close with this for this part of our Bible sermon. Here's what John has to say. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life, Doc, and that his life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not his life. Now, here you go, Doc. This is 13. This is, if I was having a medical book and somebody didn't know whether or not they could have eternal life, here's how I would close it with. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's it, Doc. It's all about trusting Jesus.
You're on a roll. You are the man, Coach. Preach. I love listening to what you have to say. Don't stop, man. Keep going.
Well, you know, I studied under Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, Ernie Sanders, Cliff Parks, Dave Hunt, Mark Valeni, and what I liked about it was I spent 20-something years, close to 25 years, studying every different denomination. And these guys would take what all these different denominations, they laid it out and says, now here's how they're telling you to get to heaven. Now look what the Bible says. And Doc, every time I come through it was Jesus' blood. Well, it was Jesus' sacrifice. Well, Jesus was beaten, not Mary. Well, it was Jesus that shed his blood, nobody else. Well, nobody else's blood could count because that was God's own blood, and only God's blood has the power to wash us away. And then, Doc, here's something else that in the medical journal, I'm sure you know of this, the medical field cannot figure out that we have a soul. They don't believe that we have a spirit and a soul. They don't understand this. But the Bible teaches in Colossians, when you and I got saved by trusting in Christ, the Holy Spirit came in with a scalpel. And picture this, that he takes this scalpel, and inside our body, he cuts our spirit and our soul away from our flesh. And then God washes us with his blood in the spirit, because you're being born again through faith, not you can see. And the Holy Spirit washes our spirit and soul out of blood. We are now born again. And then God plants his seed in us. And every seed produces after its own kind. Apple seed, apple. Orange seed, orange. That's how it works. Now, God has his seed in Doc and me and Ernie Sanders and all the true, true believers, that we have two natures. I've got a nature, somebody pulls out in front of me and flips me off and rolls the window down and starts cussing. I can look at him and I can step out of my flesh and I can retaliate. Or the Holy Spirit can say, hey, keep your mouth shut. Don't do this. My soul and my spirit can never sin. Never, 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 ever sin. But my old nature, flesh, I can still commit fornicate. I can still get drunk. I can still cuss. If I get away from this Bible reading a book and I quit going to church and I start turning the TV on and I start rocking and rolling and going back in the world, I can commit any sin that a lost person can do. But if I stay with my daily prayers and give God thanks for everything and surround myself with good Christian people, you know, Doc, chances are I'm going to make it home pretty good without getting chastised from God and being taken around to woodshed and getting me in line. Just like you teach. If you want to keep eating fast foods and fried chicken and fried this and fried that and drink this and drink that, what's going to happen, Doc?
It's not going to be good.
The body breaks down, don't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's the same thing for Christians. You know, Pastor Park said it this way. There's a lot of Christians that were saved that are going to go to heaven kicking, scratching, and clawing. And there's a lot of born-again Christians that's going to go in there humble. Why? Because they got up and go to church. They weren't on the golf course. They went up and they got a church, went to church and carried a Bible. They weren't at the fishing hole. They turned around and they actually sat at the table and they read their Bible. They weren't out shopping and going to restaurants on Sunday. Can't you know, people all want to go to heaven, but they don't want to give God any time. People say, oh, I want to live forever up there. Well, what are you doing for the Lord down here? You know, we're going to get rewards one day. If you help the needy and the poor and you keep your mouth shut and you don't blow your horn, you're going to have a reward in heaven. Jesus told us to store up your treasures in heaven where thieves and rust and moths can't get. So whatever you do to help people, and you donate money to a good Christian radio station, you help missionaries, you know somebody who's struggling, you buy them some groceries, pay a bill for them, help them out. Those are all things. One day, God's going to put that into your account. How he's going to do it exactly, I don't know, but he can't lie, Doc, because he says, store up your treasures, for there's great rewards. When you mention Jesus and people persecute you and make fun out of you, Jesus says, rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. When people say, you're a religious fanatic, you're a King James only, you're a Ruckmanite, oh, you believe in Ernie Sanders, so if I don't believe like you and Ernie, then we're going to hell. You guys are heretics. God says, great is your reward, because they hated me, they persecuted me, they persecuted the prophets, and they'll do the same thing to you for following me, but great is your reward in heaven. And with that, as we close our Bible study, we got a song at the bottom of the hour, and then we're going to get into some meat potatoes to help all of you out there. You know how I feel? I'm going to have this lady, Martina McBride, tell you exactly how I feel about God.
When I in awesome wonder come. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul.
How great thou art. You better believe God is great. Let me tell you something. He spoke things into existence. So anybody says he didn't have a magic wand, he didn't need a magic wand. He is God. He is almighty. He is all powerful. He thinks, he speaks, and it's created. The same thing the way he heals and the miracles that he's performed. My name is Dwayne Risco, known as Coach Dwayne, sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders as he's home recovering from, he was in the emergency room. He fell, hurt his knee and his shoulder. I talked to him today. God willing, he'll be on the air tomorrow night. And again, I want to thank him so much for allowing me sitting in these past nights. I want to give a shout out to Craig, who's there in the control dial, keeping us on the air with the electricity. And all for the people that checked in on my Facebook and whatnot. Sarah, Alexis, Keaton, Sonino, thank you for the kind comments for the program. But now, you guys, I want you to listen. I really love this guy, Dr. Peter Glidden of Youngevity. Doc, again, last week when I had, or back in the 10th, I had a gallbladder attack. I got a hold of your place, and I got your 90 essential minerals again. I got your liquid calcium. I got your liquid minerals. I got your fatty fish capsules. I got all that stuff in my body, buddy. I just want to let you know, I am a guinea pig to prove to people that your stuff works.
Well, the proof of the pudding's in the eating, Coach. And, you know, in such a hostile political climate, medical political climate, quite frankly, everything political climate right now, the only thing that keeps my profession above ground is results. Now, we don't have the cure-all, end-all treatment strategies for every human ailment. But we do have very sophisticated, well-thought-out therapeutics, which are in keeping with natural law, which are is inviolate. Natural law doesn't change. And when you learn from nature, when you learn from God, when you learn how natural law works, you can use it to your advantage to help the body heal itself. And more often than not, we succeed. And that's the reason that we're still around.
Well, Doc, let me ask you a question. What is it, when you mention holistic doctors, a lot of people, you know, like Dr. Berg, Dr. Gundy, Dr. Axe, and I see all their videos. I studied under them with you naturally, which you guys, I got, like I told you, got your book. Why is it that people look at holistic doctors as taboo? And even though they watch the videos, they get your information. I showed on my TV show your 12 foods that are dangerous. You know, a lot of people, they'll look at it and they'll go, well, yeah, but my doctor said, why is it that the MDs can sometimes put a bad stamp on you guys?
Well, because history doesn't repeat itself, Coach, it rhymes. And if the story is true, and I believe that it is, not everybody who had the chance to got on board Noah's Ark. Because many are called and few are chosen, very few people just have the capacity to depart from the mainstream. And the problem that we have here, it's writ large in the United States, is that in 1912, before anybody who is currently alive was even born, Congress granted the American Medical Association exclusive control over who could and who couldn't practice medicine. It was, in fact, a hostile takeover of the medical market, and it was sold to an unassuming American public as cleaning up the practice of medicine, cleaning up medical education, getting rid of quacks. It's nonsense. It ensconced medical doctors and the pharmaceutical industry as the only real doctors. And that monopoly has been in place for 112 years now, or 110 years now, 110 years. That's a long time. So people have grown up inside of a medical monopoly, and they don't even know that it's a monopoly because it's so vast. So people look around. The only medicine practiced in their hospitals is MD medicine. The only medicine their insurance pays for is MD medicine. The only medicine their universities that they went to school at or their colleges do research on is MD medicine. The only medicine they make TV shows about is MD medicine. And therefore, it's a reasonable assumption when people look around at this domain, at this territory, say, well, medical doctors, the MDs, are everywhere all the time, so they must be better than everybody else. And that would be a valid conclusion, except for the fact of the monopoly. And when people need to understand that data point, the only reason that the medical doctors are in first place is because they legislated themselves there, and they've maintained their position at the top through the unimaginable wealth and power of the pharmaceutical industry. And, you know, it's not the gun, it's how it's used. It's not the drug, it's how it's used. Thank God for insulin. Thank God for lidocaine. Thank God for general anesthesia. Thank God for the sterile technique. But for goodness sakes, by all nations are deceived by pharmakia. The pharmaceutical industry does not have humanity's best interests at heart. It's an out-of-control juggernaut. It's a one-trick pony. And the socialization is so complete, Coach, that even when conventional medicine fails people, and by the way, it's the leading cause of death in the United States.
Amen.
Even when it bankrupts people, it's the leading cause of bankruptcy in the United States is medical bills.
Amen.
People go back to the same well because they don't know there's any other well.
Great point.
And the reason that they don't know there's any other well is because the pharmaceutical industry has gone out of its way for the last 110 years to tell people that everybody who doesn't use drugs is a back-of-the-bus quack with substandard dangerous training. And quite frankly, the reverse is true. So it's all about socialization and the monopolization of the medical marketplace.
Yeah, and if you notice, if you go into a doctor's office or dentist's office, you pick up a magazine, and I mean to tell you, it's page after page after page of a full-page ad of a drug, and it's always people smiling, holding hands, like, this miracle drug is going to make you feel good. But then when you read the fine print of all the things, the side effects, I'm like, oh, my God. You're better off drinking a 100-proof shot of booze than putting this stuff in you.
Well, here's the deal. Number one, you can't poison your way to health. You can't do it. And drugs are poisonous, which is why they have to be prescribed, why they're not available over the counter. They have to be prescribed by somebody with a medical degree because they're dangerous, right? And it's the opposite with natural therapeutics. I mean, you can hurt yourself, maybe, by taking too much of a botanical medicine. I mean, I've never seen that happen in 34 years of clinical work. But the point is that the pharmaceutical agents are harsh on the body, and they are prescribed to combat things in the body. It is oppositionally defiant medicine. So allopathic medicine, which is what your medical doctor is trained in, is oppositionally defiant. So, and this is how the drugs got their name. So there's an antibiotic, an antidepressant, an anti-anxiety medicine, an antacid, anti-pain medicine, anti-fever medicine. The pharmaceuticals are prescribed, by and large, to suppress the symptom of the illness.
Like putting a Band-Aid on it?
Of the illness. Yeah, or like sweeping the dirt under the rug. You can't see it anymore. It's still there.
But eventually that hump gets bigger.
100% correct. And then you suffer and then you die. But, oh, wait a minute, we've got another drug for that. Oh, but wait a minute, we've got another drug for that. And so the more drugs that you take, the weaker your body gets, the more dependent on the drug your body gets. I mean, you're still alive. I guess that's a good thing. But then the last 10 years of your life become a revolving door to the emergency room, and you spend the 80% of your health care dollars on heroic actions by the conventional medical doctors to add one more day or one more week to your pathetic life, which has been stripped of all its vitality, all of its integrity, all of its awesomeness by a lifetime's use of pharmaceutical drugs, the intention of which was not to make you stronger, but to manage the illness. And let me be very clear about this. Your medical doctor may be the nicest person that God ever created, but your medical doctor doesn't practice medicine. Your medical doctor practices allopathic medicine. And allopathic medicine is really great for trauma care, military field medicine, surgery when it's necessary,
mm-hmm.
the complications of childbirth, dentistry. But for most of the conditions that most people go to see a doctor for most of the time, it's the wrong dog for the hunt. And not only is it the wrong dog for the hunt, but over time, you're going to get weaker and sicker because of it. Your medical doctor does not practice health care. They practice disease management. Naturopathic doctors, chiropractors, Ayurvedic doctors, traditional Chinese medical doctors, acupuncturists, practice health care. There's a gigantic difference between helping somebody to become healthy and just managing their symptoms with drugs and surgery.
Man, that's great stuff. And, you know, I wrote a bunch of stuff down. I spent a couple hours going on things that a lot of people talk to me about because, you know, I hand out your videos that with my show, you know, how to get well and how to get better. And I get a lot of questions. Like someone will say to me, well, this is the time of season here in Northeast Ohio where you get a lot of sinus infections and flus and severe colds. So what do? They go to their doctor, and the first thing they do, they get all these different packs of antibiotics. Is that the correct way out of handling those things?
No, it's not. I mean, look at it this way. Let's say that you've got an acre of land, or, you know, you've got a backyard, right? And there was a frost heave in the wintertime, and now there's a depression in your backyard, and in the summertime it fills up with water and it doesn't drain. So now you have standing water in your backyard. Well, what comes next? Mosquitoes. Because mosquitoes breed in stagnant water, and there's a gajillion mosquitoes in the world. So if you're a medical doctor, you're going to look at this situation, and your solution is going to be to pour pesticide on the water. You're going to kill all the mosquitoes. But guess what's going to happen? Mosquitoes are going to come back. They're going to be more resistant to the pesticide because there's a gazillion mosquitoes in the world. And, oh, by the way, there's still standing water in the backyard. A naturopathic doctor would look at that and say, well, really, we just have to drain the water. So you drain the water, you make the environment of the backyard no longer conducive to the mosquitoes, and the mosquito problem goes away. And this is the big difference between what we do and what
So somebody's out there saying, well, wait a minute, Doc, that sounds good, but how do you get rid of a sinus infection? And I'm doing everything I can, I can't get rid of it. I'm taking extra vitamin C, I'm taking teas, I got these vapors going up my nose, and I still can't get rid of it, so I'm going to the doctor so he can give me something to get rid of it.
Well, so here's the deal. But from my point of view, I would, and I'm making these numbers up, Coach, but okay, more than 90% of the time, when people come to see me, for instance, with chronic sinusitis, it's because the antibiotics failed them. And the second round and the third round and the fourth round of antibiotics failed them. It's often the reverse.
Wow.
That the antibiotics, you know, we were taught in high school, and they had an experience in World War II, that sulfa drugs were a wonder drug. And they were back in the day, but not so much now. Antibiotics don't always work, and more often than not, they will fail. And this is a big problem. It's a dirty little secret in conventional medical land, and it's giving rise to antibiotic-resistant bacteria, which is a big bad voodoo daddy. And so, here, the basic understanding is this. If what you are doing medically is ineffective for your condition, whatever it is, whether you're doing conventional medicine, whether you're doing holistic medicine, if what you're doing is not effective, it's probably because you went to the wrong doctor. And, you know, not all naturopathic doctors in the world know what they're doing. Not all chiropractors know what they're doing.
That's
By the
true.
Way, I'm of the opinion that a good chiropractor is worth their weight in gold.
Lou Rossi Medina, excellent.
But they're not all good. You know, not all surgeons are good, not all plumbers are good, not all lawyers are good, not all landscapers are good. It's not any different in medicine.
Great point.
Right? So you just got to find somebody who knows what they're doing and who has a good education and a good track record.
Here's something else. People have said to me, hey, when you're on the radio, ask Doc about diabetes. Can it be cured? Because more and more, it seems like everywhere you go, diabetes is just sweeping the planet.
Type 2 diabetes is sweeping the planet, and insulin-resistant diabetes is sweeping the planet. And there's diabetes is like dogs. There's a lot of different types of dogs. There's a lot of different types of diabetes. There's insulin-dependent diabetes. That's when your pancreas becomes damaged, usually at an early age, and your body no longer has the ability to create insulin sufficient to the cause, and your body needs insulin to manage blood sugar. We think that that's type 1 diabetes, insulin-dependent diabetes. We are of the opinion that type 1 insulin-dependent diabetes is caused by an unrecognized, undiagnosed allergy to cow's milk, and that the consumption of cow's milk and cow's milk products when you're younger creates an immune response in the body where the body mistakenly starts to target the pancreas because it resembles molecularly the molecule of milk. It's really a fascinating subject that needs
like
to
milk
be.
Milk in your cereal?
Yeah, cow's milk, cheese, butter. Certain amount of people are intolerant to that.
Gotcha.
And I mean, if you put diesel fuel into an unleaded engine, that's not good.
No, it's not.
Well, same way with the human body. You know, not all foods are good for all human beings. But type 2 diabetes is different.
Okay.
And type 2 diabetes is what's on the rise. And we are of the opinion that type 2 diabetes is caused by deficiencies in minerals. Now, minerals are a really interesting thing to talk about because the only person that can make a mineral is God.
Amen.
Plants can't make mineral. Animals can't make mineral. right? If plants could make minerals, we could bioengineer lettuce to make gold, right? And we'd all be rich, except then gold wouldn't be worth it. The only way that minerals, and these are things like calcium and magnesium and zinc and selenium. By the way, there are 60 minerals that the human body needs, 60. They're called essential minerals. Your body needs them. But the only way they get into the body is if they're in the soil that the food is growing in. And guess what the United States Department of Agriculture reported to Congress in 1933? Not enough minerals in the soil, folks. We better do something about this because the mineral content of the soil that we're farming in is going down and down and down. And as the mineral content in the soil has gone down and down and down, guess what's gone up and up and up? Chronic disease. There is a direct relationship between nutrient deficiencies, especially mineral deficiencies, and the genesis of chronic disease. When we're talking about type 2 diabetes, the one mineral to be focused on is a peculiar mineral called chromium. Your body needs chromium in order to allow insulin to work the way that God intended it to. If you don't have enough chromium in your body, you're going to become insulin dependent. You're going to get type 2 diabetes. And so one of the solutions to building your health, if you have been saddled with a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, is to take a comprehensive mineral supplement into your body with extra mineral, extra chromium, rather. And then also another a metabolic component here is omega-3 essential fatty acids. These are found in fish oil supplements. Omega-3 essential fats are very, very helpful in helping your body to metabolize insulin efficiently. And so this is what we do. We give the body all of the nutrients that it needs, all of the minerals that it needs, and then in this case, type 2 diabetes, extra omega-3 essential fatty acids and extra chromium, and then we keep our fingers crossed and see how far back you bounce.
Now, all that is in your 90 essential minerals, in your orange tangy or in the bottle solution, correct?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to do it. So the basic understanding here is that there are 90 essential nutrients that the human body needs but can't make. That's, by the way, a definition of an essential nutrient. Your body needs it, but, well, it can't make it. So it's got to go down the tank. It's got to be imported into the body, but this stuff isn't in the food. Some of it is, but most of it's not. And as I just said a minute ago, less and less and less every year. So the 90 essential nutrients are comprised of 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, and 2 fatty acids. And these are all put together in a combination of 4 nutritional supplements called the Healthy Foundation Pack. And this is my recommendation to everybody. By the way, I don't make any money from the sale of the nutritional supplements. Dr. Glidden has divested himself from the sale of the nutritional supplement. But I am of the opinion, after 34 years of clinical work, that this combination of nutrients is the most effective combination of nutrients I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot, Coach, because I've been around this block 5 or 6 times.
Now, Doc, with that being said, and we touch diabetes, with the same, if a person were to get your Healthy Foundation Pack, that would that also help people who are suffering with knees, or they got to get knee replacements because the tissue's gone and the doctor says, there's no way you can strengthen the cartilage, we've got to take the knee out, you're up all night, you can hardly walk, you're bearable pain. What can we do for people like that?
Well, all right. So now I need to back up a step and take a breath. Okay, because there is a point of no return.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not aware of any therapy that's going to grow back a pinky finger if you cut it off in a bandsaw, heaven forbid.
Only if Jesus was here. Yeah.
So there is a point beyond which, well, look, you've waited too long to try to fix this. It's just gone beyond your body's ability to fix it. That does happen.
Okay.
And before I started doing medical nutrition, before I started doing this like full bore 15 years ago, I thought I knew where that point of no return was, you know, because doctors are a little arrogant. I mean, let's be honest. And, you know, I was no exception to that rule. But since I've been using the 90 essential nutrients and the dietary modification and helping people in this regard, the things that I've seen people recover from, it's like, I didn't think you could do that, but you did it. So if you're struggling with a health condition, whether it's an arthritic condition or a blood sugar condition or whatever the heck it is, the recommendation is to give your body a fighting chance. Do an in-house experiment for 90 days. Eliminate the 12 bad foods. Take the requisite amount of the nutritional supplements into your body every day for 90 days and see how far back your body bounces. So we've made it easy. We have a healthy foundation pack, which is, you know, just kind of a comprehensive nuts and bolts foundation. Here's what everybody should do on a regular basis in order to be healthy. But if you've got a blood sugar problem, guess what? We have a healthy blood sugar pack. If you have an arthritic condition, guess what? We have a healthy bone and joint pack.
When you say arthritic, could that mean fingers and knuckles?
Doesn't matter. Any joint in the body.
Gotcha.
Does not matter, right?
Okay.
And we make it easy like this. And also, this opens up an insidious can of worms, which has been brought to you by the pharmaceutical industry. And remember, by pharmakia are all nations deceived. It is illegal in the United States. But I want you to put something heavy on your heads, folks, because I'm about to make it explode. It is illegal in the United States for anything besides a drug to treat a disease.
Wow.
That's why when you go to the health food store or you go to Eiffel Health, which is where I direct people to go to, eiffelhealth.com, to get the foundation pack or the healthy blood sugar pack or the healthy bone and joint pack or whatever. By the way, that phone number is 888-618-1796, 888-618-1796. When you go there, that's where you'll find the nutritional supplements. But it's not called, or if you go to the health food store, it's not called the Healthy Arthritis Pack or Type 2 Diabetes Recovery or the Healthy Pneumonia Pack or the Healthy Bronchitis Pack or the Healthy Depression Pack. It's not called that because that's illegal. Because in the United States,
wow,
the only thing that can treat a disease is a drug. And that's why nutritional supplement companies have to label their stuff like that, because if they don't, they're going to go to jail. And that's a really, really, really big problem in this country.
Well, that's amazing how they got control over all that stuff. Well, I guess it's like this. They haven't cured nothing in the last 50 years that I know about. And all it is money, 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 money. People are getting sick. And America is supposed to be the richest country in the world, yet we're the most sickest.
Yeah, we are the sickest, and our life expectancy is getting shorter. And it's not because of chemtrails, and it's not because you have a bad gene. It's because you're eating all the wrong food all the time, unwittingly, and your bodies are completely running out of the essential nutrients. I mean, this isn't rocket science, folks. If you win the lottery, buy a brand new automobile, you know, top of the line Mercedes or whatever it is, and you don't know any better. It's an unleaded engine. You put diesel fuel in it. How's that going to work for you? Well, it's not going to work very good. And then, okay, what if you never tune the car up? You never put air in the tires. You never change the oil. You never check the fluids. You never check the windshield wiper fluid. You never check the transmission fluid. You never check the power steering fluid.
Doc,
what's going to happen?
I got to cut you off. We're going to come at the top of the hour. We're going to pick this back up. Don't go nowhere, folks. I'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.